Welcome back to the Spirit According to the Word as we continue looking through the New Testament at what the Spirit has to say about Himself. And we're looking at how the Spirit has worked to reveal God's Word. And this week we have with us a special guest, Brother Samuel Ramirez from the Iglesia de Cristo in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So we're glad that you stopped by and we got to rope you into being with us.
Well, thank you for letting me be with you guys. May God continue to bless the ministry and the effort that you do to bless the brethren and to strengthen the local work. That's awesome.
Thank you, brother. Okay, so we'll go ahead and dive right in with John the Immerser. See what I did there? So we'll pick up in Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 13, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 13. And here the King James reads, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Okay, so here in verse 15, we have mention of the Holy Spirit. In the original Greek text, the word "the" is not there. It simply says, "He shall be filled with Holy Spirit." Of course, the King James translators here inserted the word "the" and capitalized Holy and Spirit, saying that this is the Holy Spirit. But what other spirit could this be? So I would certainly agree with the translators here. And it's interesting here. It says that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And, of course, we saw in the last episode, right, that, that was the case. And so when Mary came into where Elizabeth was, John, being in his mother's womb, leapt. And then his mother Elizabeth prophesied about Mary and about Christ. So there we have the Holy Spirit working through John to reveal God's word. Verse 16, notice what would be accomplished. Many of the children of Israel would be turned to the Lord their God. And then he would go before him, go before the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And so the Spirit would work through John and his preaching to turn people to the Lord, to prepare their hearts for Christ. Do either of y'all have any thoughts there?
Nothing to add to what you just said, brother.
I think you just keep on keeping on.
All right. So that's the one passage that we have there that we didn't look at before when we were talking about prophets. So we'll move on then to the apostles, and we'll pick up in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and Richard, have you got verse 16 beginning there, verses 16 through 20?
Matthew 10, beginning in verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." And I'll mention that was the New King James Version that I was reading out of.
Right, yeah, so there we've got, and the King James tracks pretty well with that, actually. And so there in the verse 20, it's the Spirit, the definite article, the word "the" is there. Of course, the King James translators have capitalized Spirit and Father. I assume the New King James follows suit?
Yeah.
Yeah. And perhaps we might also want to mention here, who is Jesus speaking to?
That's an excellent point. That takes you all the way back to verse 1. He called unto him the 12 disciples and gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. And as he was sending them out, right, he gave them this this limited commission. So this is specifically Jesus talking to the apostles.
In verse 2 there, it begins, now the names of the 12 apostles are these.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm reminded of Brother Al Macias, who once said that he's known those who look at this verse and say that they don't need to prepare what they're going to preach, that the Holy Spirit gives it to them and they can just preach. And he said, I've heard them and they can't.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, and so this was a promise specifically to the apostles. And, you know, we always need to be very careful not to take something out of its context and apply it to all people of mm-hmm. all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing more shameful than having preachers today unprepared mm-hmm. and working out of the dry well. So we have to be studious, diligent, prepared, and most definitely take the Bible and be careful when you do an online, when you do a study, make sure that you actively interpret the Bible the correct way.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, the apostles had this gift, this power given to them. Mm-hmm. We don't. So we've got to study.
You know, and when we hear someone else teach, they also don't have that same ability that the apostles had, so we need to take what they say and study that and make sure that it does line up with the word that we've got right in front of us.
Okay. Now, I want to move over to the book of John and spend a little bit of time here. We'll pick up in John chapter 14, and we'll begin in verse 15, of course, to get a little bit of context for this. All of this begins in chapter 13, where we have Jesus taking the apostles into the upper room. They observe the Lord's Supper. Jesus washes the disciples' feet, identifies Judas as the traitor. Judas leaves, and Jesus says, you know, by the way, all this is fixing to happen. Mm-hmm. And Peter's saying, well, I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus says, maybe you're not. We'll see.
Yeah.
And so, right, chapter 14, he says, y'all don't let your hearts be troubled, because their hearts already were troubled. And so he's speaking to the 12. And that's something important for us to remember. In chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking to, I guess, really now the 11, right, because Judas is gone. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the 11, and we need to keep it in that context. So picking up in verse 15, Jesus says, if y'all love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but y'all know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but y'all see me because I live. Y'all shall live also. And so notice here in this context, you know, Jesus is talking to the apostles, and he's saying that I'm fixing to leave, but I'm not going to leave you without comfort. The Father will give you another comfort. And who's the you here in this verse? Well, it's the 11, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They're nodding, guys. I don't know, you know.
Oh. right.
Yeah. So Jesus is telling the apostles that the Father would send them a comforter. And this comforter, verse 17, is the Spirit of truth. The King James translation here capitalizes spirit, but not truth. Kind of interesting. The word the is there in the original. So the King James translators are indicating this is the Holy Spirit. I would agree with that. And he says, verse 17, to the apostles, that y'all know the Spirit of truth. He dwells in you. Of course, we saw in Matthew chapter 10 at the limited commission, they received miraculous abilities from the Holy Spirit. And so he says he dwells in y'all, and he will be in y'all. And so that's the comfort that Jesus is leaving for the apostles. And, you know, a lot of times we want to look at this particular passage and say, well, we'll see there, the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. But can we really take this verse that far?
Well, you look at the word in the New King James, it used the word helper and capitalized the word. Mm-hmm. And you look at the original Greek, is parakletos, which is someone who enables you to do something. But a lot of people can take that out of context, saying that he's the one who had to do it for me. Mm-hmm. But most definitely, he dwelt on us. And now, we're not talking about miraculous power or to hear a voice or that tingling in my spine, like some people talks about it, that, you know, talking about the ability that we can understand the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That we can know truth. Help us discern and understand what the true meaning of the Word is through the instruction that we receive. And for that, we can go to other passages like Romans 8. Mm-hmm. It has been called the chapter of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8.
Yeah, we've not gotten there yet.
Okay, all right.
We're working our way in that direction.
All right.
But right here, this passage in John 14, though, I mean, this mm-hmm. is about the apostles.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
And so we want to be careful not to take that out of context. Mm-hmm. If we're going to find this promise for us, it's not here that we need to go. What do you say, Richard?
I'm with you. I'm tracking with you on mm-hmm. this.
All right. Brother Ramirez, would you mind reading verses 25 and 26 as we mm-hmm. continue in this context?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm reading out the New King James Version. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I have said to you. How far do you want to go?
That's perfect.
Okay.
That's perfect. Yeah. So, and noticing, you know, the New King James and the King James track very closely there. Mm-hmm. Instead of helper, the King James uses the word comforter. Of course, as you mentioned, that's the Greek word paraclete. Right. Mm-hmm. The King James capitalizes comforter and holy and spirit. Mm-hmm. So you know, all these translators are saying this is the Holy Spirit, and I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. That this is the Holy Spirit. And again, Jesus is talking to the apostles. Notice what this Holy Spirit will do for them. How many things is he going to teach them?
Well, he said all.
Yeah, he's going to teach them all things. And in particular, right, he's going to help them to remember what Jesus has said to them.
You know what is interesting about the word things? Things, that's the interesting part. That's where many people say, oh, that's why we don't go there in our brotherhood, you know, mm-hmm. when we go to the specifics of, because it might sound like we are Calvinisms. We sound like, so you are from this camp, and they are from that. And then it's when I was listening to Brother Dan Winkler, and he said something that stuck in my mind, that is shame on us, because we have done an abysmal work in talking about the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. about the work of the Holy Spirit, about what the Holy Spirit does and have done. And he was expressing his how throughout the time we have put certain brethren in this camp. Mm-hmm. And talking about the indwelling and all, and then some in this other camp. And he said, you know what? I'm going to preach what the Bible says and learn through the instruction of the Holy Spirit through the Word. And I don't care if so-and-so get offended by it. We just need to keep understanding what the Bible truly says about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I know I might have a little sister over there saying, oh, and another brother being happy. But we have to speak about the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so much misconceptions mm-hmm. within the brotherhood. And it is this in some way infighting or agree to disagree. We need to move on from that to come to the understanding. And it was just great to listen to the lesson. And it really, I can share with you that back in the days when I preached the kind of the same outline the brother was sharing with the group, I was that, you know, hey, from my brethren, from the Hispanic brethren, Iglesia de Cristo, where, oh, you with them. And that's not what it's about. It's about really growing into the, by the instruction that we get through the Word that the Holy Spirit has inspired, mm-hmm. the breathing of the Word into the holy man of God. So I love this topic. I think I consider this, thank you guys. I appreciate you, Brother Hopkins, and thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you guys. I better just be quiet, I guess.
Because
you know I have about 8 hours more to drive, so I can get home. And, but this is great. I appreciate what you're doing. I honestly, I didn't know that you guys are diving into this topic. I guess throughout my life as a preacher, I have a selected group of people that I listen to. Mm-hmm. Since I'm a way no high tech person, I wonder how much good teaching I have missed. Most definitely, I'm glad that you have these podcasts, and most definitely, I'm gonna follow that.
Well, thank you.
I'm gonna be part of the guys who listen to. So thank you guys. I appreciate mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, you know, and I mean that's just the thing. What you just touched on, mm-hmm. you know, is I mean we've got to have that willingness, that desire to set aside this camp and that mm-hmm. camp and just come and see what does the Spirit say about Himself? What does the mm-hmm. book say? Yeah, and so speaking of that, getting back to the book. Right, so here in verses 25 and 26, this is again for the 11 apostles, you know, that the Holy Spirit would be sent by the Father in the name, right, or by the authority of Christ, and He would teach the apostles all things and help the apostles remember all things that Jesus said to them. I mean, how many things has Jesus said to you, Richard?
Well, how many words we can have contained in His Word in the Bible?
Yeah.
And I can't go beyond that, can I? I mean, that's what He said to me.
Right, but I mean, as far as me and you and Brother Ramirez, I mean, we weren't there. You
know, no.
We can't remember any of that, right? But the apostles were there. And so the Holy Spirit's going to help them remember those things so that they don't forget it and so that they write it all down for us. So that it is here for us in the Bible, right?
And that's how He communicates to us today.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Amen.
And so that's the promise that we have there. So continuing in this context, chapter 15, I want to look at verses 26 and 27. And so here Jesus says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And y'all also shall bear witness, because y'all have been with me from the beginning." Now, just a note here. The King James here says ye. That's just old English for y'all.
So. Yeah. the Texas y'all.
Yeah, you know, so here Jesus says, you know, this comforter, the same comforter He was talking about in chapter 14. Now, it's interesting, right? Chapter 14, He said, "The Father would send it by my authority." Here Jesus says, "I will send Him from the Father." So you see, the Son and the Father are together in agreement in sending the Spirit to the apostles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And notice the things the Spirit's going to talk about. And again, I think this is one of the reasons why maybe there's so much confusion. Who's the Spirit going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to testify of me. Mm-hmm. He's not going to testify about Himself. He's going to talk about Jesus. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit was not under the spotlight of the things that the Holy Spirit revealed. Jesus was under the spotlight. And so there's maybe some questions, some curiosities that we have that won't be answered because he wasn't the star of the show.
Our mind is so small to really comprehend all the depth of what you just said. It is impossible for us to really explain or put in words all the work that the Holy Spirit does and did and continue to do. But I guess the misconception today is that people throughout the people in the denominational world and in the religious groups have taken all these and some of the things so way out of context without the proper interpretation of the word. It just become a mess in people's mind. And I'm truly convinced that our work as the preachers is to bring clarity and preach the word and do never go beyond that. That's one of the if you're going to be careful about something, is to be able to preach the word of God. That like the admonition that Paul sent to Timothy, preach the word. Because the consequences are either adding to it or taking out, they are gravely, you don't even want to think about the consequences of that. And I think we have to be mindful of the real need today to be students of the Word of God.
Yeah, got to stay in the book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Richard, would you mind continuing in this context? Let's drop down to chapter 16, and if you could read verses 12 through 14.
I'll be happy to do that, but before we leave chapter 15 and verse 26 and 27, just to further address who Jesus is speaking to and who his audience is, he mentions at the end of that verse, "You have been with me from the beginning." Well, who has been with Jesus from the beginning? Who's that referring to? Exactly. So that further addresses his audience of these words.
Excellent point.
Okay, so chapter 16, beginning, you said in verse 12?
Yes, sir.
"I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you."
Yeah, so just a couple of notes here. In the King James Bible, verse 13, the word "spirit" is capitalized, but not the word "truth." Kind of interesting. What do you have in the New King James there?
So in the New King James, the word "spirit" is capitalized. "Truth" is not. What else is capitalized is, however, when he is capitalized at the beginning of that verse.
Yeah, so I'm not seeing the divine personal pronouns, if you will, capitalized here.
Just thought I'd point that out in the New King James there.
Again, as Jesus, and he's still in the same room, still talking to the same 11. And notice he's saying that I've got a lot of things to say to you, but y'all can't bear them now. And certainly I think we can appreciate that, right? Because as they were walking to Jerusalem to begin the last week of Jesus' life on earth, he's saying, look, we're going to go down to Jerusalem and I'm going to be arrested by the Jews and they're going to betray me into the hands of the Romans and the Romans are going to crucify me. And then I'm going to die and be buried, and then I'm going to rise again the third day. And they're like, well, yeah, but who's going to sit on your right hand and left hand?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there was a lot of this that they just weren't wrapping their minds around yet.
I think if we still have many of us, we when we come to something so deep in the Word that we are baffled about it, because we still have the tendency to think more the things that deserve and looking up to heaven and the things that are divine. No wonder Jesus always says, you know, don't make treasures in this earth. Everything is pointing out to the divine, to the things that are word talking about it, the things that, the good things that comes from the Father. And we have to do a better job doing that, especially instill that in our children. Our children, they are not the future of the church. They are here today. They're not here tomorrow. They will be here tomorrow, but transforming teens, young people, young ladies, they have to be beginning to listen in the early age, the importance of taking the word seriously, understanding the reverence part of being in worship, understanding that they are growing, not just physically, but they can grow in the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Just the same way the Bible talks about Jesus growing, our children can grow to understand what the Bible says, the importance of the Bible, the importance of understanding why mama and pop go every Sunday to worship and to take communion and give out of their means. And it is so important that sometimes we have to look back and how much effort that we have, that we are doing today to incorporate that teaching.
Along with what you just said there is, when's the best time to start teaching and training someone to be an elder?
Babies.
Yeah. Don't wait till they're an adult, right?
No, why you wait when he's 40 and he already has a messed up life, so to speak? You don't have to wait. There's no reason to wait. That's what I appreciate, the desire. And, you know, let me just be honest here. Our sisters and brothers who take upon the teaching of our children. Mm-hmm. If we can just get their heart and their effort and their commitment to be portrayed when we preach about the importance of the early on teaching in our children, we will make our brethren understand that you cannot just don't teach them anything and bring them to the worship service thinking that the preacher can fix them in 30 minutes. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly, you know, I mean, our Bible class teachers are hugely important. You know,
yeah.
They're, you know, while they're missing out on the adult Bible class and the nourishment and the fellowship that goes on there, they're in the trenches helping to shape hearts and win souls for Christ now. And of course, our parents ultimately have the most time and the most responsibility to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so verse 13, right? So Jesus says, you know, when the Spirit of truth has come, and so he's been described as the Comforter, he's been described as the Holy Spirit, he's been described as the Spirit of truth, or the Helper. Here in these passages, he says, he will guide you. Now notice, how much truth would he guide the apostles into?
It says all truth again.
Yeah, again, and this is a promise for the apostles. This is not a promise for us. Now, the apostles took that truth and wrote it down. We'll get there, but...
So that we've got the all truth right in front of us today.
Absolutely, right, yeah. But we don't have, you know, the Spirit guiding us into all truth the same way he was guiding the apostles into all truth.
Because we don't need it, because again, we've got the all truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it says, he will not speak of himself. Again, he's not the star of the show. But whatever he hears, that shall he speak. Okay, well, what's he going to hear? Verse 14, he will glorify me, because he will receive what's mine and will show it to you. So the Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into all truth, and specifically, he wasn't going to talk about himself. He was going to talk about Jesus. And that's interesting. So when the Holy Spirit revealed all truth to the apostles, he talked about Jesus. So when the apostles had that all truth and they wrote it down for us, they talked about Jesus. So on this podcast about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about that all truth, we need to be talking about Jesus.
Amen. Because, you know, the Bible still says that the Spirit still thinks,
mm-hmm.
still make decisions. The Bible speaks about that. You know, listen, guys, we can go on and on for hours trying to figure out and to go deep to the bottom. But the reality is that we have all that revelation in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to go to get the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able, we had to make that transition from our personal Bible study to the preparation of the sermons in the devotion that we share with the brethren. And we had to take that very serious responsibility that we have to be the expose of the word, to be to have the privilege to get to preach the word of God, mm-hmm. and to continue to be the standard bearers of the truth and stand in the sound doctrine.
Yeah.
Just a form of doctrine that we have received. It is no other.
Yeah, we've got to stick with the pattern.
Yeah.
And jumping back to what you're saying about how we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about Jesus. You know, this verse, the Spirit would guide them into all truth. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, verse 6. So if we're talking about the truth, of course we're talking about Jesus.
Excellent point. And that's right here in this context.
Mm-hmm.
Same conversation. Absolutely. Yeah. And, so you know, these promises in John's chapters 14, 15, and 16, you know, there's certainly a temptation. Take those out of context and apply those to all Christians of all time. But we need to be careful to treat them as the apostles would have understood them. These were promises for them, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, making known God's truth, making known Jesus. And so that's what we see here. And we're running shy on time for this episode, so we'll try to pick up there next time. Does anybody have any other thoughts, anything to add before we wrap this up?
I just want to bring forward John 3:35, where the Bible says, "The Father loves the Son, and he has given all things into his hands." So he had given all things to Jesus, and now the Holy Spirit is going to get it from Jesus and reveal it to the apostles. What a wonderful, it's just like the loop has been closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's another verse that I want to bring out here. It is in Matthew 11:27, where it says, "All things have been delivered unto me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. No one does anyone know the Father except the Son. In the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." And that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and then the Holy Spirit shared that with the apostles who shared it with us.
That's just awesome. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. I want to thank Brother Hopkins for the opportunity, and my brother here. I'm bad in names. I will change people's names, so I don't want to mess it up. But I thank you, brother. I think it is great. I'm blessed, and I'm amazed of the love for the word that y'all have, and we need more preachers like you guys. I think we could be in the corner of the world and doing a great job for the brethren. And I encourage you to continue. And the reason why I encourage you to continue because I want to be listening more. Okay,
you know, brother, thank you so much for joining us. You know, it really has been a privilege. I never will forget the first time that I met Brother Ramirez. I thought, you know, I'm going to go to this guy. I'm going to encourage him, and that'll be great. And I walked away. I was the one who was encouraged, and certainly it's no different this time. So really glad that you're here with us, with no warning.
You know, I hope, you know, this is just coming. My mind is going 100 miles an hour. I don't drive like that. Okay, so I want to make clear that people know that. Even though my mind can go so fast, I'm typically very slow driver.
That's good.
Just within the legal speed, right? I hope that you guys will give me the opportunity to get some of your recordings and actually translate it into our platform in Spanish. That will allow between 5,000 to 6,000 people who listen to us to the platform in Latin America, that they could get to hear these topics. Whereas I know it's a lot of a lot of questions, and it's also to bring clarity to this, especially the topic of the Holy Spirit. So
yeah.
Whenever you guys have ready, share a couple of those, and I'll just get on and translate it. You know, basically what I do, it's easier for me to do it live translation, which is instead of doing the long route, which is do it step by step, because of the time. So, but yeah, I would look forward to hear from you guys and see.
Awesome. All right. And listeners, thank you all for joining us. And until next time, stay in the Word, stay in the book, and we'll see you soon.